Our sermon text today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, reading from verses 13 through 31. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 31. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake unto them a parable, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord's messenger today is the Reverend Tan Kian Singh of Berean BP Church, and he will speak to us on this extended passage under the title, An Admonition Concerning Meeting Life's Needs.
Dear friends, we all have many needs in life, don't we? Yes, we need food and we need clothing and we need money also to buy these things. But what do you suppose is the most important of all such needs that we need in life? What is the most important need in life? To some, it may be to happily enjoy sumptuous meal frequently. Yes, some may go for this. You know, the Chinese, when they meet each other, you know how they greet each other? It is to ask whether they have eaten. And that seems to be an important need in their life and their concentration. They care much about that. Some people feel it is important to put on nice and expensive clothes to feel comfortable and to feel good. Yes, my wife has a good friend and she happens to be very rich and has been giving us things, many things, including old clothes. And it is as frequent as about every 3 months. Yes, about every 3 months I have to be a Karunguni man, you know, to go and collect these things from her, from her place. They may be old clothes, yes, but actually they are not really old. Because some of the clothes, when we receive them, as we go through them, they are really very new. So new that we know that they have not been worn at all, because the price tags are still there, many of them. And not only that, but they are good material, branded goods. Yes, some of them, when we put them on, we feel shy at times. Like my daughter, once she put on one and then to go to work, and her friends were wowing at her, you know, that, wow, you put on this such a branded goods that they'll never have it themselves. And in fact, we do not know about all these things, and sometimes we even put them on to go to bed, you know, to use them as T-shirt. And when my daughter told them that, you know, I wear this for my bedtime, and they were wondering, you're wearing a $100 over T-shirt to go to bed? So, yes, she may be giving us old things, but they are not worn, and they are new things, and branded goods. And these are things used by her children. And you can see, yes, that they look towards these things, especially the children. They come from rich family, and so this is their lifestyle. They love nice clothing and nice things. Well, to many people, what is important in life is to have good health, and to have wealth, and to have great possessions. Many things they want to have. Yes, to many people, their life is centered around eating and drinking, and be merry, be happy. Their life is controlled by wealth, by possessions, by money. And because of too much of it, too much of their money and too much of wealth and too much of possessions, or maybe lack of these things, and they may get into trouble in life. There are many people who end up committing suicide because of money, lack of it or too much of it. There was once a government minister, a minister of our government. He make it rich, or he makes some money from some illegal transaction. Yes, through some bribery. And too bad, well, his contractor who bribed him exposed him, and he could not take it, and so he committed suicide. Very sad ending. And we do read of people in the news that, yes, they love to have quick money and to make it rich quick, and they go for gambling. And they thought that by doing so, they can get rich quick. But to their disappointment, they fail. And when they fail, they are not satisfied. They want to get more, and in order to maybe go for more gambling, and in order to pay for the debt. And they go on to borrow money for further gambling. And one thing adds on to another. They lose again, and then they borrow, and at the end of it all, they find that they owe so much that they cannot pay. And it seems that the only way out for them is to take their own life. And sadly, it is not just to take their own life, but many times we read that they also take the lives of their precious children. Yes, is your life controlled by money, by wealth, by the possessions that you have? Is your life concerned with the cares of this life? What that we need to eat and what that we need to wear? Do you think that, yes, these things are what that we need most in life? Well, the Word of God tells us that it is not so. What does the Word of God tell us concerning our need? Our most important need. Yes, and the most important thing that we need to do in order to meet our needs in life. Let us hear the two warnings from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which he wants us to take heed with regards to meeting our needs in life. Firstly, the Word of God warns us that we are not to be covetous. We see in verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ saying in this parable, in verse 15, he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Now, what is covetousness? Covetousness is a greedy desire to have more. It is to have more of what that we already have. A strong desire after the possession of worldly things. The wish to have more than what that we need. And to have them excessively. That's what it is. And know that the Lord God here does not forbid that we are to be in possession of things. He does not say that we are not to have things that we cannot possess, things like houses or properties and money, clothing. We need all these things in life as we live our life here on earth. But it is the coveting after these things that God forbids, that the world is teaching us against. It is wrong and in fact sinful to want to have more than all that we need to have. God says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He does not say that it does not consist in the things that we possess. It is okay to possess things, to have things. We need them. But it is the abundance of the things that we possess, And then also to take heed and to beware not to have more excessively. Note here the double command given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is a double command. He says, take heed and beware. Take heed, that is to watch out. And secondly, to beware, that is to keep watch and to be on guard concerning covetousness. And why is it that the Lord has got to say it twice? He has got to give us a double command. Why is it that he's repeating his warning? It is truly to emphasize the importance concerning the matter of covetousness, the falling into the sin of covetousness. And we have 2 years, the Lord God speaks once, and let us hear it twice, truly. Yes, it means also that temptation to fall into covetousness is so great, and if we are not careful, we will fall into it very easily. And so therefore, we have to take heed. We have to watch out lest we fall, and we have to keep watch, we have to be on guard lest we fall into this sin of covetousness. And to illustrate his point, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a parable of the rich fool, recorded for us from verse 16 to 21. And the man in this parable was concerned only with things. Yes, that was his one concern, with things in life, and not just with things, but with getting more and more of possessions. He already had what that he needed, but he wanted more. He was not satisfied with what that he already had. He wanted more and more. The Lord did not condemn the man for his wealth. Yes, he was a rich man. And the Lord God just stated here about the matter of fact that he was a rich man and he had plentiful. But it was his covetousness, his greed, that the Lord Jesus Christ condemns here. Yes, one who is rich but still desires to have more. Covetous. And as a result, he neglected the real need of his soul. The need of his soul that lives on forever. He only cares for this life and of holiness. But he cares not for his soul, his precious soul. The consequence of his soul. The soul that does not die. The soul that lives on forever. And the Lord concludes such a person as a rich fool. Indeed so. In the eyes of the Lord God Almighty, our Maker, one who says that there is no God is a fool. Yes, because for the fact that there is truly a God, and one who denies God, one who is an atheist, is a fool. Because all of us will have to face God someday when we die. The Word of God tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So the day will come when we all will have to face the Lord God Almighty, even before him in judgment when we die. And God will judge us concerning the destiny of our soul. Our soul will live on forever. But whether will it be in heaven with God Almighty, or will it be in hell to suffer in eternal damnation? The Bible tells us in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The real need truly is the eternal destiny of our soul. Not the temporal needs of our body in this world. The world is not our home. This world is not our home. We are just passing through it. Soon it will be all over. But not so for our soul. Yes, our soul will live for eternity. But whether it will be in heaven or whether it will be in hell. Yes, where will your soul be? When you breathe your last breath here on earth, when our time on this earth here is over, and when your body dies and is eaten up by worms, where will your soul be? Will you be like many covetous, rich, foolish men who care only so much of meeting their needs in this physical life here with worldly pleasures, but not prepared, not have your soul prepared even for eternity? Many times do we not read in the newspaper's obituary page of rich people who have died, and yes, and very sadly they boast of being rich, owning this company and having this achievement and that achievement, having built up this business empire and that business empire. But the most important need is lacking in the man's life, and that is the need of his soul's eternity, the need for God. There is no God in his life. Again, the Word of God tells us in Matthew 16:26, what is a man profited? Or if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, there was once a big boss of a certain famous hotel in the Orchard Road area. He used to have sumptuous meal every Sunday at his hotel. And one Sunday, just after his good lunch, he was already preparing for a big feast during dinner time. He wanted to throw a big party for his business associates to invite them to come to enjoy a big feast. But sad to say that it did not happen. He did not make it. Something happened just after his lunch, and he was resting at home and still planning for the big dinner. Something happened to him and he was struck dead. And during the funeral procession, well, the hearse passed through his hotel, and at the car park there were his employees of the hotel lining up to say farewell to him. And it was a very sad scene, truly. Yes, there was this great tycoon with great gain in life, but now it is all lost for eternity. Recently, in a newspaper, do we not read of a 20-year-old South Korean fashion model, and she was found hanged in a flat in Paris on November 19. And this lady, yes, she was doing well in her so-called profession and in the world. But in one entry on her blog on the computer, the model wrote these words, saying that she was mad and depressed and overworked. And in another entry, she said, "The more I gain, the more lonely it is." Yes, dear friends, it's our life, eat, drink, and be merry, only to enjoy the pleasures of this life in a sinful manner, but not being prepared for our soul's eternity, our soul that will live on forever. Are we so engrossed with pursuing earthly gain in this life, and that's not concern for our soul? Our life is just but a vapor. It appears a little while, and it will soon be over. But our soul will live on forever. Where will our soul be? Are we prepared? Are we prepared to face our Maker, even the Lord God Almighty, even to face Him as our Judge? Where will your soul be at a moment when your life here on earth ends? Will it be absence with the Lord and absence from the body and present with the Lord? Or will it be separated from the Creator for eternity, and it be cast into the lake of fire, and to suffer then for eternity, where the worms die not? Now in the parable, the Lord also said of the one who is covetous, rich fool, that he is a man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We read this in verse 21. Well, it is not a sin to be rich, to be wealthy. But the rich fool here loves his wealth, and he acquires riches for his own use. And this is what it is, the characteristic of a covetous man. Acquires things, a lot of it, but only for his own self. It is all for himself. He lives only for himself, and he acts only with regard to his own interest. Nothing concerning God in his life. Just count the number of times the big personal I. The word I is used here in the verses, three verses from 17 to 30, to 19. Six times you can see the word I being used here. What shall I do? This will I do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. I will say to my soul. And so it is very much of self. What I want to do? What will I do? And not so much as what will God do with my life? Or what will God want me to do? And so with much anxiety, truly this man, he hoards up his riches and trusts in it for the security of his life. He thought he was going to live this earthly life for long, forever. And his riches only bring with them many increasing and cares and anxieties in this life. Yes, there are many people who may be rich, yes, but they have many cares and anxieties concerning their wealth as to how to protect them and whether if they'll be lost through various ways. And so as a result, he could not have any affections for God. His concern was all focused upon his wealth, his possessions, in what that he has, and wanted even to have more. And so his soul was therefore in a dangerous state. He neglects his soul. And with death suddenly and unexpectedly comes knocking on the door, all the wealth that he have gathered, that he have collected, will not be able to prolong his life, even just for another second. Not at all. He is not rich toward God, because he does not care a bit about God. No time for God. No concern for God. No riches laid up in heaven. No interest in heavenly things. And in living his life here on earth, his affections are all fixed upon this world. All the things and the pleasures that this world can offer. And there is none for God. No concern for God's work and no concern for God's purpose in his life. And so he has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. For his soul has not made it right with God. His soul is not prepared for God's kingdom. The time will come when his soul has to meet up with God. In fact, his soul was heading for hell. And God said unto this rich fool, therefore, that this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he will go to hell with the consciousness that life has been one of much folly, concentrating only much about the things in his life. And for all that he has accumulated, he cannot bring them with him, even in the afterlife. So rather than being covetous in trying to meet our needs in life, the wisdom of God given to us here in the Word of God is that we must be rich toward God. Be sure, yes, that we have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Be sure that we have made that our soul has a place in heaven through the redemption by the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let our affections be fixed upon God. If our affections are fixed upon God and upon heavenly things and not the things and the riches of this world, we'll be more prepared to leave this world and to leave all that we have in this world and to be able to be with God Almighty for eternity. In fact, we long to be there. And death to us is truly a welcome, homegoing, rather than truly dying. So let us lay our treasures in heaven. For if our treasures are laid up in heaven, we will wish to be with the Lord God Almighty, to be there to enjoy the inheritance that the Lord God has reserved for us. It will be joy and gladness to live this life here on earth and to be with our eternal God for eternity. It will matter little what is our portion here on earth and how suddenly or how soon we will be called to be judged, to be with the judged. It does not matter. In fact, the sooner, the better it will be to be taken from this world of sin and world of many temptations that may cause us to fall into sin against God. So this is how the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to look at life with our many needs in this life here on earth. Again, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, his admonition: take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in abundance of things which he possesses. Now let us hear the second warning from the Word of God, which we ought to take heed with regards to meeting our needs in life, even after having the Lord having given us the example of the rich fool, and he feels it is necessary for us to go on to listen to his next admonition. And therefore he uses the word in verse 22, therefore I say unto you. Therefore, yes, the Word of God wants us here, secondly, that we are not to be careful. Firstly, not to be covetous in the meeting of the needs in life. And secondly, not to be careful in a bad sense. The Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what it shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now the words take thought here means to be anxious, to be troubled with many things, with cares and concerns in this life, to seek to promote our own interests. In a good sense, it is to show care and to be concerned for. But in a bad sense, which is the way that it's been used here, it is to be anxious, to be overly concerned about things, to be worried about many things. Yes, dear friends, are we anxious? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Having too many cares and concerns in your life here on earth? For example, are you worried if you would have food and clothing on your dining table each day? If you have clothes to wear in order to protect you and to keep you warm? Yes, there are many things that we can be careful about in life, to be worried about, especially if we are badly affected by the recent financial turmoil, the financial crisis that had happened in the world. During such time, yes, there will be many who will naturally be anxious about tomorrow, whether if I will still be able to keep my job, whether I will still be able to enjoy my good salary that I've been receiving, yes, whether if I can survive, and whether if I'll be getting my bonus at the end of the year, whether if I'll be able to provide for my family. Yes, some of us who might be directly or indirectly affected by what that has happened in the world, but a poor state of economy in the world, even in Singapore itself, may be anxious, and some might have suffered retrenchment, and you'll be worried, you'll be anxious of the days to come. The news reported that 60,000 civil servants will not get their bonus this year. Yes, are you one of them? And because of the poor economy, so are you concerned if you're one of them, and or even if you're not affected, but the days will come that may not be so good? Will you be worried about the coming year, whether if I'll have enough to provide for myself and my family? The Word of God tells us that there is no need to worry about such needs in our life. Yes, because the Lord knows. The Lord knows that we have such needs in life. He knows that we need these things in life in order to live our life here on earth. Even as He has put us here, He has left us here, having saved us, He knows that we need these things in life. And so He says that life is more than meat, more than food, more than eating. And the body is more than raiment, more than clothing. And He will take care of these things for us. Yes, there's no need for us to be anxious. By way of testimony, I held a job in a state board for some good years, for some 16 years, before I resigned. And after having worked there for 16 years, thank the Lord God for a very good pay package that He had given to me. But all of a sudden, when I answered a call to go into FABC, there is no more income. Zero income from the day when I started my studies in FABC. And no car to move the family around. And it was a bit inconvenient. Also, my wife was not working, as she has to be full-time to be taking care of the four children that the Lord God has blessed us with, and one of them being a special child. And in fact, once we had to declare to the authority concerning our household income, because we were given some bursary for our children, for their studies, and we went to the community center, and my wife told the officer in charge that we have zero income. When come to fill up the form, income, how much? She says, zero. The officer could not believe it. He said, no kidding, no income, how can it be? It cannot be. In this world, even in this land, we need money to live. Yes, it was so. No income. And for 3 full years, we were living our life without a steady income when I was studying FEBC. Except for the scholarship from the church. The church has lovingly given me a scholarship in order to help me through in my studies, and some love gifts that we have received from brethren who truly care for us. But in spite of no steady income for that period of time, I praise and thank God that we had no lack. Yes, no lack at all. In fact, my unbelieving parents, they were so worried, and especially my dad, he was so worried and would be asking me, who will take care of the children? Who will take care of their future, of their studies? Yes, we have 4 school-going children. And who will provide for the needs? What about their future? Do you have any savings? How are you going to save? We need money in this world. Even if you go out, you take the bus, a feeder service, you still pay a few cents. You need to pay a few cents. Nothing is for free in this world. But praise and thank God, we still had good food on our dining table. Yes, the Lord God does not owe us anything, and He provides us with all that we need. We did not have to sleep in the streets. And my school-going children, they still have uniforms to wear, and their uniforms were not torn and tattered. And they have school bags to bring to school, and they still have money to buy their school books. Yes, the Lord God had provided us of all our needs. Nothing lacking in at all whatsoever. In fact, I always count the period of my life during those 3 years as the most challenging, because it was truly living by faith, trusting in the Lord God, with nothing but trusting in the Lord God. Truly, it was truly a very most exciting and encouraging time in my life. Because every day we just live purely by faith, trusting in the Lord God to provide for all that we need. And you know what? I also had a car. I was given a car. Someone gave me a car during my student days. And who was it? It was the principal. Lovingly, the principal, Reverend Toh, gave me his car to drive around. Can you imagine that? How the Lord God provides so marvelously? Truly praise the Lord God. So we can trust in the Lord God. Is there someone who may be concerned about his life and his future? Let us be assured that there is no need for us to fear or to be panicky. Yes, not to be like the people of the world who are without hope. For us, we have hope in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know the Lord God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, the maker of us all. And He is the one who will provide for all our needs. Let us look upon Him. We have a blessed hope in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. Now, as with regard to our need for food, the Lord offers us hope that God takes care of us, even as He takes care of the fowl, the birds of the air, by feeding them, as the Lord goes on to say in verse 24. And He says, look at them, look at the birds. They have no anxieties at all. They do not plant, they do not harvest, and they do not have big stores of barns like the rich young men, like the rich fool. Yet every morning, do we not, if you were to wake up early in the morning, do we not hear the birds, how they are chirping around, how they are happily singing and flying around, enjoying the beauties of God and looking for food, for worms that the Lord God naturally provides for them? And the Word of God tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, how much more are you better than the fowls, than the birds of the air? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that you are a creature of God, worth more than them, more than these little birds, these little creatures that God has made. Because we are created in the image of God, but not these birds. Not even the ravens, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ used, the type of birds that He used here. The ravens, the crows, the sparrows, and the Lord God provides for them freely. But we who are created in the image of God, His special creation, could He keep us lacking? Yes, it cannot be so. So let us don't be worried, and let us not be fearful, but let us trust. Trust in the Lord God and have faith in Him. He will provide for all our needs, even as He provides for the needs of these little creatures that He has created. As with regard to our clothing, our need for clothing, the Lord Jesus Christ gives the illustration of how God beautifies His creation and nature with grass and flowers, as we see in verses 27 to 28. Yes, like the ravens that do not store for food for themselves, the lilies do. They neither toil nor spin in order to array themselves, to clothe themselves. So if God fits the birds and clothes the earth with beauty that surpasses the fine garments that are being put on by kings and queens and people who are rich, who can afford these things, then will God He not clothe His people too? His people who are precious to Him, even redeemed by the blood of Christ? Yes. God will provide for us, even as He provides for His little creation. Of course, the Lord God is not saying that we are to be lazy and just simply sit around and wait for things to fall onto your laps. No, the Lord God does not provide this way. And in fact, the Israelites note that they still have to go about around to pick up the manna that fell from heaven. The manna did not fall onto the dining table. They still got to go out and pick them up. So Jesus is not saying that we are to be like the birds, no need to work, just fly around happily and be singing always and be chirping around. And but the leaders of the field, and no need to work, and just wait and expect you to be clothed beautifully. Rather, the illustrations given here are to help us to understand that we should place our trust and hope in God. Yes, let us place our hands, our lives in the hands of God, to trust in Him, that He will take care of all things. In fact, He does. No need and no use to worry about all our needs. Yes, we must work for our living, but remember that it is the Lord God who gives us the breath to go out of our house and to go to our offices, to our place of work, to work and to bring back home the salary, even to provide for our loved ones at home. It is ultimately the Lord God who provides for us, though we may have to work. So let us trust in the Lord God and to learn to be dependent upon Him. If God even clothes the grass which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, we can also trust in Him even to provide for us. Yes, we are who are of eternal value unto Him. We have a soul that will live on forever. And so we are precious to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ says that if we keep on worrying instead of trusting God who will provide, we are of little faith. Yes, sometimes we may say that we trust in God and we know that our God, we sing praises to Him. But in our life, in our practical life, we do not trust in Him. Do we hear the Lord Jesus Christ telling us, or the Lord God telling us, "Oh, ye of little faith, let us learn to trust in Him, even in these things in life." And He wants us to trust in Him, because by trusting in Him, by putting our faith in Him, it is well-pleasing unto the Lord God. It is acknowledging Him, even for His goodness and His favor and His mercy towards us, who are His precious children. And the Lord further commands us in verse 29, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind." Now the word "seek" here has the idea of a man's effort to obtain something, to pursue, to endeavor to obtain, to press on and to strive for. No, we are not to be like this with regard to our daily needs. The Lord Jesus Christ says that we are not to seek these things in these ways. Food and clothing and things that we need in life. Neither to be of a doubtful mind, that is not to be living in careful suspense in your life, worrying about this and that, whether this thing will happen or that thing will happen, whether if I'll have this or have that. Yes, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity is saying to us that do not entertain any anxious thoughts concerning your life, distressing thoughts concerning what that you may need in life. But still, well, many of us have the habit of worrying, don't we? We are always anxious, though we may have God with us, though we may worship the Lord God each Lord's Day as we come, but we still worry through the week. We lack the faith to place our trust fully in Him. Are you such a person? There's a couple who started a new business, but before they started, the wife, who usually boasts of a devotion and service unto the Lord God, shared that they would not keep their business closed on Tuesday night, because Tuesday night is prayer meeting and they want to honor the Lord God to come for prayer meeting. And the lady always proudly says that it is an honor to serve the Lord God, always gives the impression that she is busy juggling between work and service. But after some months into the business, well, towards the end of the year, when it came to preparing to go for a church camp, and it was surprising that they would come and to, you know, saying that they're not sure whether they'll close their business for that week in order to go for the church camp. They started by saying that they would keep Tuesday nights free, but at the end, after some months, they become very anxious, whether to keep their business open or to stop for that just that 1 week in order to go for church camp. Well, they almost did not want to go for the church camp. But they did, but still it was not the full week. It was just but 2 nights that they went. Well, if you're in their shoes, would you trust and honor the Lord God instead and leave it all into the Lord's hand to trust in Him that He will provide and that He will take care of all things? Do we have to be anxious or to trust in our own strength and wisdom? Are you the type who worries much? The Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 25 to 26, "And which of you, by with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If he then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take he thought for the rest?" What's the point of worrying? There are many things that we can worry about, but is it worth the while to worry? In fact, many times the things that we worry about do not come to pass. And when we worry, we are just making our life worse, feeling more miserable. It is a foolish thing to do and a complete waste of time to spend our time worrying about this and that. And by worrying, we don't solve our problems anyway. Worry never helps anyone. It only hurts the worrier. And you cannot add any time to your life by worrying. So more serious than that, in fact, actually worrying is a distrust in God. It has been an atheist. Because by worrying, we are not putting our trust in God. We lack the trust in God, though we say that we believe in God, but we do not trust in Him. And it is not well-pleasing unto the Lord God. So the Lord Jesus Christ admonishes those who worry, "O ye of little faith, let us learn to put our faith and trust in God fully." In verse 30, the Lord says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and the Father knows that ye have need of these things." What is the need for us to worry? If we were to understand and truly know here that the Lord God Himself knows all that we have, all that we need in this world. Yes, our loving Savior wishes us to be free from all anxiety, free from all worries, and not to be like the unbelievers in this world who do not have anyone to truly put a trust in. But we know that we can trust in God, and He knows all that we need in life. And He desires us that we may just wait simply upon Him and to cast it all into His care, to wait upon Him and without being distracted by all these things that we need. He wants us to consider and to honor His love and His care by trusting in Him to provide for all our needs. We're acknowledging His love and His care for us, and the Lord is happy to know that. Yes, if we're to put our trust in Him and to be calm and to be of a quiet spirit and to wait upon the Lord God Almighty and to be fully obedient unto His holy word. Instead of taking thought and to be anxious and to be worried with the many cares and concerns of your life, even the daily affairs like eating and bodily needs, the Lord Jesus Christ would want us to do what in verse 31? "But seek ye, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Yes, let us rather seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the temporal needs, the needs of our bodies, the needs that we need for this life here on earth, will all be added, will all be super added even to our lives. But rather seek, the word seek here is the same meaning, in fact, as the word used in verse 29. It is the man's idea, it has the idea of man's effort to obtain, to pursue, to endeavor, to obtain, to strive for. So instead of pursuing and endeavoring and striving for material needs in life, even the needs for our bodies in this world, we should rather channel our energy and time in doing things for the glory of God, in seeking to put God first, in seeking things for His kingdom's sake. Yes, it means to make God's kingdom the number one priority in our life. Are we able to do that? Are we doing that to put the same kind of intensity and creativity, commitment unto the Lord God Almighty, even for His kingdom, for His purpose, for His concern, then for our concern, then for our purpose? Yes, rather than to go all out to strive for the material wealth and possessions and money that the people of the world do, we as children of God, let us channel all our energy to put God first, to put His kingdom first. And many young people, young couples especially, and you have young family, and truly, let us watch out. Yes, because there have been many Christians who, many years of Christian upbringing, and instead of putting God's kingdom first, they put their kingdom first. They put their family first. They put their children first. Learn from a couple with very young children. The wife, quite a domineering lady, and always pressing the husband to commit more time to the family. Yes, but it is in expense of his service unto the Lord God Almighty. They wish to serve the Lord God, but the husband has been hard-pressed even by the wife, and it is in expense of his service in the church. The husband is actually an office holder in a church, but because of his wife's demands, and therefore he has failed in his duty to perform them faithfully unto the Lord God and unto the church. They give prayer meeting amiss, to stay at home, to be with the family. They give fellowship meeting amiss, and they do not come for Sunday school. And so many meetings in the church, many activities, they are not involved because of wanting to spend time to be at home with the family. And they just come even just only for Sunday worship, just like being a Sunday Christian. And in fact, there was once the husband was supposed to be serving in a church camp and to chair in one of the meetings. But the wife would not want to come for a church camp, and she would rather go to a resort that is next to the church camp resort, and would allow the husband only to come for that few hours to serve the Lord God in that meeting. And we thought that it is not right to do. This is actually taking advantage and abusing service unto the Lord God Almighty. So we tell the husband, and this is not the right thing, and why not you should ask your wife to come. Tell your wife to come to the church camp instead. And to our surprise, you know, this man who just keep on telling us that instead of telling his wife to come, he said I'll ask her. Keep on saying, I'll ask her. And by saying that, we know already what the answer would be. Yes. There are many people waiting to serve the Lord God, to take his place. And in fact, the Lord God did so. He is removed from his service. And the Lord God has put someone else to take the place, to serve the Lord God. Many people are waiting to serve the Lord God eagerly. It is like that man with that one talent. It was taken away from him. He did not use it for the Lord God. The Lord said that it was taken away from him and given to the one, the 10 talents man. So let us beware. In fact, there was also another occasion where the husband was to speak at a fellowship meeting on a Sunday night, and he had already committed to it. But after having gone home to discuss with the wife, and well, he came back to tell the pastor, saying, after having discussed with my wife, and she thought that I'll be away for too many times, twice a month. He was supposed to speak twice a month. And therefore, he wanted to back out. And that was after having discussed with his wife. Yes. The wife claimed that she is very supportive with his work, with his service unto the Lord God. But in fact, many times pressurizing him to be wanting to be with the family, to put the family first rather than to put God first. And so this man has failed miserably because instead of putting God first, they have been putting their family first. Let us put the God first and do not treat God's service lightly. That's what he did. Treating God's service lightly, service unto the Lord God, instead of putting God first. Yes, we love our wife and we love our children, we provide for them, and we love God. But remember to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, if we're to serve the Lord God faithfully and put in first, will he not help us in the managing of family, in the taking care of our family, in providing for our family? So let young people here, even with young family, yes, let us watch out. We may be anxious over our families, our children, as we build them up. But let us always put God first. Trust in him. Let us stop having so many unnecessary cares in our life, but rather get right with God first. put God's interest first in our life. And do not be lacking in faith. Trust in Him that He will take care of all your life, even your family life. He will provide if you faithfully serve Him and seeking Him first. So seek first God's kingdom. Advance God's purpose on earth. Promote His kingdom wherever you may be, at home, at a place of work, in schools. Share the gospel. Befriend someone. Make friends with them and bring them the gospel. Be a witness to them and help them to come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is about seeking God's kingdom first. Yes, serve Him faithfully and care and love one for another in a household of faith, and to learn to provide for one another and to help one another out in need, who are in need and who are in troubles. Yes, live a righteous life and holy life, a purified life unto the Lord God. This is seeking God first. Build a healthy Christian-centered relationship with other fellow Christians, even in our midst. And let all things, all God's concern be our chief care and concern, then our own concerns and cares in life. Even so, as we do these things, yes, the Lord assures us that all earthly things will be super added into our lives. Yes, do we have many needs in our life here on earth? Certainly we do. But in order to fulfill these needs, the Word of God admonishes us to take heed and not to fall into the sin of covetousness. Rather, we should be concerned with first taking care of our soul. Is our soul right with God? Is our soul redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? Jesus also wants us not to be careful with our earthly life, but rather seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Be reminded that our life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. And our life does not concern with eating and drinking and be making merry, not with this body, that what we should put on or what that we should feed it with. But truly, be concerned with our soul. Our soul has an eternity. Where will it be? Yes, it is so important. Where will our soul be when our life here is over? Will our soul be in heaven or in hell? Have we gotten right with the Lord God Almighty? Have we received the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, acknowledging that we are sinners and that if not our soul who end up in hell, but the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us, shedding His precious blood to cleanse us from all sins and unrighteousness? Have we believed that? And have we invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart to save our soul unto eternity? So that when our life is over, yes, our soul will be with Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever. So may God help us to take heed and to beware of covetousness, and to take no thought that is not to be careful with the things in this life. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, O Lord God Almighty, we pray Thee, Lord, even to take heed even of Thy holy word, of Thy holy instructions, even the teachings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that You care for us, Lord, even of all our needs in life, and You do provide for all that we need, even to live our life here on earth. So, Lord, we pray Thee that You will help us to take heed and to beware, even in the meeting of our needs, that we may not fall into the sin of covetousness. Help us, O Lord, that we may not be anxious, to be careful about all that we need in life. But help us, O Lord, to truly seek first the kingdom of God, to put Thee first always. O Lord, help our souls be right with Thee. For some here, Lord, who may be still outside the kingdom, Lord, we pray Thee that they may know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Thy word may speak to them and cause them to realize that truly Thou art the true and living God, and it is Thou and Thou who can help us and who can deliver us and who can meet all our needs in life, even for our soul. So, Lord God Almighty, we give Thee praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.